gun can be a 22 or a 38, and it will silence you, dear sir. That is a silencer.
Yo, 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 hi! How's it going out there? Welcome. Welcome to the one and only Carolyn Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going excellent.
That is fabulous to hear. I'm hoping everyone at home is fabulous. I'm hoping you're fabulous. I'm hoping I'm fabulous. I hope you guys enjoy this show. You know what, Carolyn? It's been a long time, it feels like.
That we recorded, like, on the actual day that we released the show?
Yes.
Well, today is August 11th, 2012.
August 11th, 2012.
Don't we have good morning, Vietnam.
That's right, Vietnam. I love you. I love you, Vietnam. What's the news?
Well, the news is, for us personally, today's an important day.
Oh, is it?
In the history of Carolyn and Joe.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
This is news to
me.
I've been so out of it, you gotta remind me what's going on.
Actually, I shouldn't say it's actually an important day for us.
Oh.
It's actually... not really.
Oh, it's what?
It's actually an important day for me.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Because guess who I'm going to see today?
Who are you going to see today?
Tonight, I'm going to see Dave Navarro.
Yeah, alone. By himself. Tonight's the night. This is just like prom. Going to prom. She won an adventure with Dave Navarro to go to the prom. To the homecoming social. The ice cream social happening is tonight.
We're going to have ice cream tonight.
That's right.
We're going to have Pinkberry.
That's right. Pinkberry.
And Young Pussy.
That's all that Dave Navarro really enjoys is Young Pussy and Pinkberry.
That's what we're going to have tonight. No, just kidding.
I would like to say that I like both of those things, but not just young.
You like old pussy too.
Sure. Aged. Why not?
What's the level of your pussy? How
I don't have pussy, but
how high would you go on your pussy?
How high would I go on my pussy? I'm sorry, I don't understand that question.
No, like, I guess how old does a woman have to be for you to have sex with her?
That's a weird question to ask.
It is.
It's a very awkward situation to ask that question on the air.
We're just joking. No, but seriously,
what is the age of the pussy? What is the age limit of the pussy, you ask?
Well, some guys might have a limit.
Well, I think it still has to be with quality. I'm not about age, I'm more about quality of the pussy.
I read yesterday on the internet that somebody raped like an 85-year-old lady.
Well, that seems about very desperate, doesn't it?
It's like, why would you? They went into her house and raped her. That's kind of sad.
That's weird. Why don't they lock those doors? Well, it's like she was asking for it. You didn't lock those doors? What the hell? She's like, one of these days.
She locked the door to her own house.
She's like, one of these days I'll get raped. I gotta leave these doors open. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Or good afternoon. Yes.
Or but good night.
Whenever you're listening to this show, you know, we're live.
We're 24/7.
That's right.
In your brain.
This is how we do this thing.
But anyway,
I hope you guys enjoyed our last episode that was hosted by, I forgot what was his name. What was that robot, alien robot's name?
I don't remember his name either.
Zar Fox?
Zarox. I guess he can come back in future episodes.
We're
in touch with him.
He said that we asked him to, but actually he hijacked the show. So that's how we roll here.
We don't even remember his name.
Yeah, he was just like, I will take over the show, and I'm like, all right, man, chill out.
Joe, but guess what we're doing tonight? We're gonna see James
Young
Addiction.
Pussy and Pinkberry is what is happening tonight. If you don't like that, you're not down with it.
We're going to see Jane's Addiction, which I'm really excited about because, like, there's so many bands that I've seen, but I feel like I've seen them, like, multiple times. But with Jane's Addiction, I have never seen them before.
So that means you have not seen them multiple times.
Yeah, I haven't seen them. But I'm just saying, with other bands.
The first time you've seen them.
Exactly. But with other bands that we've seen them, like, once or twice.
So yeah.
We kind of, like, know, I guess, what to expect. But with Jane's Addiction, they're, like, one of those bands that you never know how long they're going to be around in formation.
That's right.
First of all, you never know how long they're going to actually be alive. And then on top of that,
why is that?
Well, I think like they're in better health now, but let's be honest, at one point I guess,
are they?
Yeah.
Says who?
Me.
Come on, that's not statistically speaking.
It seems like they're not as like much on the drugs anymore. which is positive.
Yes.
PMA, positive mental attitude. But I guess what I'm saying with Jane's Addiction, by the way, I don't know if you heard this, but I heard this on like the DC 101 Rock Report, is that Perry Farrell was saying that he's like really excited about this current Jane's Addiction tour.
Why is that?
I guess like he's more pumped to make more music, and he wants to make more music within the next 6 months after they finish wrapping this tour.
That's good.
So then I'm like, you know,
you're musicians,
at least,
right?
Yeah, at least you don't have to wait like, I don't know how long it was, like 7 or 8 years between records. You see what I'm getting at?
I see what you're getting at.
So I'm just like excited that like it seems like they're like mentally on a roll.
They're serious about it this time.
Yeah. So I'm like, yes, I'm excited about their new albums that will be coming out, hopefully. But it's one of those bands that like they broke up multiple times. You never really know like if you're going to be able to see them like in 5 years. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like I'm just excited that like we have tickets in hand and we will be seeing them tonight. Maybe next week we can report on the show.
That's true.
But it does also
seems like a very possibility. What type of people are you expecting to be at this show? Actually, I saw the poster of the show and I was very intrigued. One at the Escapist Theater? Was that what it was?
Well, the whole, I guess like the whole thing behind this tour is that they're performing in like older or like old-timey type theaters.
Yeah.
Like Red Curtain type. It's not like,
Like the Majestic or something like that.
Yeah. Like really nice theaters and stuff. So, and then they're calling it like Escapist Art of the Escapist Tour or something like that. I forget the full name. But also I've heard that, I don't know if it's going to be at this show, but at other shows I've heard that like when you come in, they have like circus type performers or strange alternative performers that are like in the lobby and stuff.
That's cool.
So it's kind of like this whole environment of like circus, cabaret type ordeal. But I mean, I hope they have that at this show, but I can't guarantee. Because that was like when they were starting out the show, so I don't know if they're still doing like a major production as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it sounds pretty cool and like all-encompassing of their new album, The Great Escape Artist. So I'm excited. Like, I don't know, it just feels like a more of an exciting concert experience because I don't know what to expect and like we've never seen them before. Plus, on my end, it's, like, really exciting just to be, like, I can see Dave Navarro.
I don't even know what seats, what are the seats, what's the seat situation for this one?
It's, like,
where can
seated
people find us?
Yeah, I don't have the tickets today in front of us, but I think Brilliant. We're, like, in, like, row, like, 17 or 16 or something
nice.
Like that. That's pretty good. I mean, I wish we could be, like, closer, but I still think, like, we got a good deal on the tickets. Because I ordered them before they even went on sale to the general public.
That's cool.
But, like, I mean...
Was it, like, through Citibank, or was it through Citibank?
I got a special deal because I'm a Citi card customer.
Citi.
And I feel like a lot of... I feel like they actually sold out with only that promotion. So, like, if you don't have a Citi card, then you basically cannot see Jane's Addiction. Which is kind of annoying, because I heard that people were doing that with, like, the Madonna concerts. And several other concerts were, like, I guess, sponsored by Citi.
So you're excited to see Dave Navarro, but at the same time, I'm pretty much excited to see what Perry Farrell has to say.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm excited about seeing Perry, too. He's, like, kind of the brains behind everything.
Should be.
Yeah.
Without Perry, there's no Jane's Addiction. He seems to hold a lot of weight there in the act.
Yeah, I'm excited to see everybody, but, you know, as a woman, I'm excited to see Dave Navarro.
Not Perry?
Not
Perkins? Not Steve Perkins?
No, they're all pretty, like, handsome in their own way. You know, like, there's not any, like, you know... I'm not trying to judge them by their looks. Obviously, the music comes first.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, they all have, like, their own vibe. They all have, like, their own handsomeness, you know?
I remember you posted a video on your Facebook a couple days ago from this taping about Perry Farrell when you saw Obama. What did he say with that?
No, it wasn't Obama.
When Bin Laden got killed?
Yeah, it was, like, apparently somebody was filming in the concert. There was a live announcement that Perry Farrell made that Bin Laden died.
Hey, we just found out that Bin Laden got killed. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm sorry if you like his family, but that guy killed lots of people, so fuck that guy.
I think what I like about Jane's Addiction, and also goes in the same sense of like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is that, you know, a lot of times you go see you like this might even be a modern thing, but you listen to their interviews, right? And when you listen to a lot of like modern interviews from bands today, and they sound like crap. It's nothing intriguing. It's like, yeah, I'm off with the music. I can't feel my album drops this time. It's going to drop this time. You know, it sounds like
I hate it when they like say bullshit. Their album drops.
Yeah,
like,
I hate
it's
that.
It's like, what? Just say my album comes out. Yeah, it's like so they're trying to make it so cool and like really hip.
Not a lot of recent artists I feel like have inspired me through their interviews. And I mean, or have just given me that much character. I don't know if you can name one, but maybe even Kanye is the most exciting one who gives interviews these days because you don't know what he's going to say.
He's like a firecracker.
And that's the same thing with that's the same thing with the Chili Peppers and Perry Farrell. I remember when the Chili Peppers, they're on TRL after like the Woodstock 99, and they're talking, and Carson Daly like asked him about, he asked him about like who's to blame for the fires that happened at Woodstock 99, and they're like, and they're talking about it was DMX, there was a Rage Against the Machine, and then Anthony Kiedis was like, yeah, it was definitely DMX's fault. That hip hop music and stuff like that, and it's awesome. You couldn't tell if he was being serious or not, and Carson Daly was like, yeah, DMX. I was like, he was like, no, I'm just joking. God.
But I thought that was hilarious, man. I do like the way like Perry talks, because if you listen to some of his interviews, he just has like a weird random way of like talking about things, and I feel like he's not restricted, and I love that freedom of speech, because I feel like a lot of that's missing like in general with everybody nowadays.
Do you think that was probably just like an LA thing, a drug LA thing that happened, because you know they both launched at the same area of time?
It probably influenced a little bit, but also like just that feeling of like reckless abandonment where they just don't care like what anyone specifically thinks about them, which I think is interesting.
That's weird, because like you never really feel that much that these days with music,
because
as much of that recklessness
is so
of the
clean and like PR'd, like they're all these new artists are like trained like, oh, don't say anything,
or they all have to act hip hop or stuff like that,
or they have to act like they
can't
put
we got
anything
this going
down.
On my boys, you know what I mean, the featuring it, I don't know, it's I don't know. I sort of really, when I was growing up, it felt weird to hear like they would say Anthony, like they would talk about the stars, you know, they talk really weird, you know what I mean, but now I come to really appreciate it because the interviews have become stale, and you know, you really wish for just sort of
or
that
like,
fun.
What about John Frusciante's
interviews? Specifically Frusciante, you know,
well, he was like on drugs for probably half of those interviews.
That's not true. He wasn't on drugs until like,
or at
after.
Least during that one interview where they had like that, I don't know if he was British or something, that BBC type interview.
Yeah, he was definitely on drugs for that, but before that
he looked like a lemur, like his eyes,
but like even with like Flea and all them, they were just weird, and you know, you miss that after a while. It's sort of, now people are sort of,
now everything's
deep,
like
for no reason, or I don't know, I just can't remember. I can't remember people just not, these days people just acting like they're full of themselves and acting so like so much into the music in a way, but not really, just so much into themselves, into the music. And I really appreciate
the real
that.
Alternative.
I remember when Perry Farrell was talking about even like the Birkenstocks or something like that.
Yeah, he was apparently like somebody in the crowd. I haven't seen video of this, but I've only heard audio. And then like someone in the crowd threw a shoe at him, apparently, from what I gathered, and he's just like, "There's that same asshole again. He threw a Birkenstock at me. You don't even understand fashion." It was like the best thing to say. It's like, I just think his mind works really funny, like, as in like on the spur of the moment, just to say something or announce something. Maybe, he seems like a pretty cool guy to talk to.
Maybe a lot of artists just don't have a lot to say anymore. Maybe that's what's happening.
I feel like they're trained not to offend anybody, seriously. Or like that guy from WWE that just got fired.
Yeah, Abraham Washington.
And it's like, so he made a couple of like off-color remarks, but like what exactly did he say? Do you remember?
He said something like Tyson O'Neal is just like Kobe Bryant at a
Colorado hotel.
Yeah, Colorado hotel, unstoppable.
I guess like, so he referenced Kobe Bryant's like, I don't know what to call it, but sexual.
Yeah, like, you know, a supposed
or
rape or whatever, like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I called it a sexual adventure and you call it supposed rape. But anyway, but he mentioned that. It wasn't even in, like, a way that was blatant. It was just, like, a little, like, tip of the hat or something. And then, like, he got fired from that. And then, he's made other remarks, but I wasn't, like, available to listen to those. But it's almost like if you say anything that's a little bit off color, you have a risk of losing your job. And I think, like, also Jane's Addiction and Chili Peppers might be able to get away with a little bit more of that, because they, like you said, they were from that, like, 90s drug scene at one point, and they're also, like, rock stars, so people are more accepting of them saying something crazy, I think. But, like, I mean, even Gilbert Godfrey, he made a tweet. This is not even, like, audio. This is just a tweet of him, like, basically saying something about the tsunami in Japan. And then people were like, oh, that's too soon to say that. And I mean, personally, it was kind of funny, but, like, I can see how people would be, like, upset about it. But then at the same time, it's like, well, this is comedy. Like, half of comedy is supposed to be about, like, poking fun at the truth. And that's why comedians do what they do so well, is because they get that flavor out there and they put a different perspective on the news.
Yeah.
And I mean, how long do you really want to take the hardcore news that's like, dun, 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 there's a tsunami and there's a tornado and everyone's dead and we lost all this money, the economy sucks. And then, like, it's sometimes nice to, like, just hear a comedian just make fun of things.
Yeah.
And especially Gilbert Godfrey.
So especially you want to hear Gilbert Godfrey?
Yes. Well, first of all, I couldn't hear his lovely voice, but but it was just a tweet. Like, literally, he probably was just like, huh, that's funny, I'll type it in. Like, you know, like, it was just like a sentence. And then he loses his job for, like, the Affleck duck voice. You know, and, like, and then I guess he might have lost other opportunities and stuff. But, like, it's just kind of sad that it's, like, we live in this such clean, super clean world. Like, I'm all about, like, keeping things, like, in line a little bit. Like, not like, super, super in line. But, like, I think, like, when you're a good person, like, people can understand the difference between a good person and a bad person.
Yeah.
Like, I think, like, if we just concentrate on it relatively being, you know, a good person, an upright citizens brigade, if you will, I feel like we can basically, like, structure everything more properly. But, like, when you have, like, this super clean mentality going on, I think, like, people are almost going to, like, revolt against it at one point.
So we have a signing, August 19, right?
I don't know. I don't have the information in front of me. Is it August 19th? I'll take your word for it.
I believe it's August 19th at, like, the One more page books. Let me see if I can bring that information up right now.
It's in Arlington, Virginia.
Because it's the best time right now to say that while we have a little break during our conversation that will either offend or entertain. That's what we do.
So what is this signing for, Joe?
Let me try to find it right here.
It's for District Comics.
That's right. District Comics is out, ladies and gentlemen. Carolyn and I, yes, we do make comics. Carolyn is a designer and I'm a filmmaker, but at the same time, what we do with Curl Studio is we make comic books, write stories. Magic Bullet number 5 has also been released at the same time. And also District Comics, the wonderful stories based about DC has been released. It's actually released August 7th, but we're having a signing on August 19th that will take place. Let me find out where it takes place.
It's at One More Page Books in Arlington. I don't know the address.
That's right. One More Page Books, 2200 North Westmoreland Street, number 101 Arlington, Virginia. You should definitely check it out. Really proud about this story that you guys definitely tune into. And it's a first. It's the first ever graphic novel anthology, comic book anthology about this stories about the city of Washington, D.C. We have a story called Spy Teeny about
the Red Spy Queen.
That's right, Elizabeth Bentley, the Red Spy Queen. It's definitely a story that is unique. It's different than probably more unique than a lot of the stories there. We took our history and we just ran with it. That's basically what we did. We wanted to do something about spies, but we didn't want to do something literally about spies at the same time. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. Everyone will tell people about that. District Comics, find it at your local comic book store. And also you can search on Google or search on Amazon. You can buy it there. This book is available everywhere. It's everywhere, guys. Anywhere you want it, this book can be in your lap, in your hands. It's a pretty thick-ass book, too. Check it out. So that comic book signing again is happening at One More Page Books, 2200 North Westmore Street.
Westmoreland
Street, 101, Arlington, Virginia.
And a whole bunch of other creators are going to be there too. Like, basically anyone who is a cartoonist or writer in the Washington, D.C. area should be there.
That's right. And that is a Sunday. August 19th is a Sunday, and the signing starts at 3 p.m. We will be there. So you get to see the Carolyn and Joe show in person. We're not going to be doing the show there, but we will be there signing, maybe causing trouble. Because that's what her story causes, a little bit of trouble too. So hopefully we catch you all there. So I've been out of the loop of the world for the past 3 months. Not 3 months. Maybe it feels like 3 months, but 3 weeks.
And I think longer than that.
Yeah, more longer than that.
Let's just say the past 2 months.
We'll say the past 2 months I've been out. I've been gone. Been busting my ass. Recovering as we speak. Been working on several movie projects. And the one thing that I did miss, that I can remember, is the Olympics. And this probably might be the first year that I think I've completely just did not see anything of the Olympics.
Well, you missed every other year because the Olympics are every 2 years, so you probably missed last year.
Every 4 years, right? Well, the Summer Olympics every 4 years.
Yeah, but the Winter Olympics is every 2 years, but and like the Summer Olympics is every 2 years. So that means that in between each Olympics, there's a blank year.
That's
so
true.
So you probably missed last year's Olympics because it didn't happen.
But to break it down in actual reality is that usually I will remember, I'll have some sort of knowledge about what happened, who won this, who won that. I have no clue who won anything in this thing. I just yesterday when I was doing the only thing I really know of this past Olympics and the high point that seems for many other people is the reunion of the Spice Girls, because that's when I got picture wrapped and I got home and I was able to see that and I was like, wow, the Spice Girl reunion, that's amazing.
It wasn't even that big of a reunion, to be honest with you. It was probably only 3 minutes worth. They only did like two half songs.
Yeah, but from what I was hearing, that like Pasha is never part of the reunion, so that's like a big rarity. To have,
she's like, I only come out for the Olympics.
She's like a fancy like breast implanted fashion designer now.
Beckham.
Yeah.
Beckham.
And like,
don't
you
call
know,
me posh anymore. I'm Victoria Beckham.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm not gonna join that group anymore. You know, so it was like really rare for that to happen.
And it almost seemed like they were on the mark. It almost seemed like they never went away. Like they all looked great and they sounded great.
Yeah, I mean, like there was no real reason for them to break up. I guess it's not. They still have. They
I
still
mean, I
have
guess
it.
She just like married like. I don't really. Like, love David Beckham, but apparently he's, like, the hottest thing since sliced bread. Unlike toast.
But, like, it was... That, to me, was the only thing I heard about that. I watched that, and that was pretty amazing. Did you find that Spice Girl reunion amazing?
That was the only thing I watched in the whole Olympics. I was here for the Olympics, but I kind of chose not to watch it. Because I just have too much stuff going on in my personal life that I don't really feel like watching, like, teenagers in underwear. You know what I mean? It's like, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. I don't really need to sit here and just, like, watch these young people, like, half naked.
I wonder what happened. I have questions about the Olympics, and I'm not really going to ever find out what happened. Like
what are your questions?
Did Usain Bolt, did he win another medal?
I don't even know if he was there. He probably was.
He was there. He's always there. Fastest man alive.
I like his name. His name is awesome, like, for what he does.
So maybe people can send us answers on what happened on the Olympics, because I'm not going to go search for it.
What happened with Michael Phelps? Did he win?
Did Michael Phelps, did he win? Or did he just smoke a bowl?
Do you know what I heard about Michael Phelps? Apparently he has like a lot of gold medals, right?
Yeah.
But then he also...
Cash for gold, Mike.
He also has 2 silver medals, and I heard that with his silver medals, he basically like just hides them.
He's like, fuck this. This is a failure. These are failures.
He
that's another
just, like,
thing.
Puts it in some cardboard box, like hidden away in his room.
That's actually one thing that I saw too. Was that like the one of the gymnasts got a silver medal for like the vault.
Uh huh.
And like, you know, she was like, she's one of those girls, American gymnasts. I don't know her name. She's American. We'll call her Kim Sanders. That's an American name.
Let's just make up names for these people.
But like I saw just like photos, like she hasn't missed, like she's apparently like the best vaulter in the world. Or I think that's what it is. Well, no, not pole vault. What is that? The when you do the springboard and then you,
I don't know,
do the tumble horse or whatever it is.
Tumble horse?
No, the pommel horse or.
You know, I don't know.
You know, but you know what I'm talking about.
Well, you basically jump over something.
Yeah, or you springboard and you do like a flip and you land. Apparently, like, she was in the running, like, she was, like, just destined to win the gold, and then she hasn't, what's it called,
her performance fell through?
She hasn't, like, missed a landing, like, in 38 tries, and it was, like, the Olympics, was her second landing, she actually, like, she hit the first one perfectly, And then the second one, she actually fell. And then that got her to be the set. Like, that was...
She knocked down.
She got silver because of that. And then you can see during the whole entire... during the whole entire, what's it called, the ceremony to get the medals, that she looks like ultra pissed, and she's giving like the gold medalist like the stink eye. She's like, I just handed that to you, you stupid bitch. That was mine. You can't wait till I hit puberty. This will be amazing. I'm gonna kick your ass. Like, she legitimately just looks so unhappy. I was like, wow, welcome to the Olympics.
Is that the one? Is that the one where like I saw? I didn't even know that story. But there's like a picture that of this girl that looks like some gymnast that people are putting on the internet, and her face like looks all angry. And
yeah,
she's like biting her lip.
That's her.
But what they're doing is they're putting her picture into like other scenarios.
Yeah, that's her. That's another news I saw just because
like,
of those
she's
images.
She's getting famous.
Yeah, because of being
pissed off.
Because of being silver. Because of getting silver, being second best.
It's not
best.
Even about being famous for getting silver. She's getting famous for being pissed off.
Well, she legitimately looks pissed off, man, because she fell. How do you fall?
I don't know.
Olympics.
It happens. Like, sometimes that happens. It's just unfortunate that it happened at the prime peak that she should perform.
See, that's what's amazing about the Olympics, and that's why I'm sad that I sort of missed it, because that's what it is. It is the prime peak of these people. Like, this is like every 4 years you're supposed to do your best here, you know. It's like everything else is nothing unless you make it here. And that's how she felt when she looked at it.
Silver out of family.
She like she didn't even want like hug like all of her other people. Like, all of the people are like, it's okay Kimberly, it's okay. And she's like, no, fuck off, that was mine, you know. It's like that. It was like that. It was like, no, it was mine.
I don't know really what to say about it. I kind of feel like the Olympics was exciting and everything. But also at the same time, I don't know.
Well, you saw the opening ceremony, right?
No.
I missed the opening ceremony.
I didn't see it. I heard, like, small bits of audio of it, but I didn't see it.
All I saw was, like, little back
bits. I know it was, like, orchestrated by Danny Boyle or directed by Danny Boyle. But that's all. And I didn't sit and watch it.
Really, at the end of the day, whatever review comes through is always negative. So I can't really trust anything.
I mean,
I really want to see who won the
speed
walking.
That's
I want
to
see who won the speed
see.
Walking, man.
I only cared about the speed walking, but I didn't know when it was on, and I didn't really make an effort
they
to
probably
like, find out.
They probably played it again like at freaking 4 o'clock in the morning because they don't think people want to watch the speed walking.
Speed walking is the best event.
It is, because you don't know when people are cheating or not.
Well, they get handed a card.
Yeah, they
it's like 3 strikes, you're out. So
runs up and hands them a card as opposed to like
the
speed walking.
Do they just get flagged, or do they have to hand off the card?
They give them a card. From my recollection, they get handed a card. Someone runs up to the speedwalker and hands them a card and says, you're disqualified. Or, you know
no,
what I mean?
They
or,
get 3 strikes, you're out.
Yeah.
Because, like, when we last watched it 2 years ago, it basically, the exciting part, first of all, it was on at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning. And this lady, I don't even know what country she was from. And first of all, when they walk like a duck. And they're all, basically, they can't pick up 2 feet at the same time. So they have to basically look like they're walking really fast. And they're all squatting like a duck.
Speed walking.
And the thing is like, this lady was in first place. And she was almost near the finish line. And she already had 2 strikes. And they're basically, like, hunting her down, like, waiting for her to pick up 2 feet.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the option of, like, either you win gold or you accidentally, like, screw up because of, like, the excitement of, like, motivation and getting fast. And or you get, like, totally knocked out. But we ended up like
that's
falling.
A high pressure situation.
We ended up
there.
Falling asleep, and I don't even know if she won or not. That was 2 years ago. But I was all excited because I'm like, oh shit, man, she could get her third, like, and then she gets out, man.
Because remember, they really just they're like just going in a circle, and then the last lap they have to go inside the.
It wasn't like a full on lap because they were outside and it was like a curvy trail.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
Or not curvy, but like, you know, it was windy, I guess.
That was how it breaks down, man.
It was a pretty long race. I remember we were watching it for a while.
I feel like speed walking should be a little bit longer than like running or something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty long. I mean, I don't know how many miles it is, but...
I wonder if people like really buy tickets to see that they, well, I'm going to go to the speed walking and watch them.
Hell yeah.
I wonder how you have to qualify for that.
Speed walking currently is my favorite event of the Summer Olympics.
That'd be a fun movie to see like people training for speed walking, like... And like the how people like realize, you know what? I think I can do this for the Olympics.
But also,
how come they don't have speed walking when you go to like high school and stuff like that?
I don't know. They should.
They're like,
they
no,
should.
You gotta run.
Do you know they changed the name? It's not called speed walking anymore. It's called sport walking.
Oh, sport walking.
Or walk sport or something like that. That's what they changed it to. That's why I had a hard time like figuring
they couldn't
out the
market
schedule.
It. They couldn't market it properly. They didn't want speed. They wanted sport walking.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense because it's like walking as a sport. You know what I mean?
Like, well, you're athletes and you're in the Olympics. Apparently, hopefully, everything's a sport.
The only other thing that I know of speed walking is that Malcolm in the Middle did an episode like that, and the dad was training for speed walking.
Yeah, exactly. If a Mr. White can train for that, they need to make that more national.
I would actually like to.
How come you never see the speed walking trials like on TV? They're always.
They need to have a speed walking network.
Do you think it's one of those? Do you think it's one of those games in the Olympics where you can just sort of like, yeah, I'll just try. You know, any jabroni will just try out for it. Be like, I can do that. All right, let's do it.
I bet it's actually really hard because like when you look at them walking like a duck, sure, it's easy to make fun of that and just be like, look at these fools.
Yeah, but you don't see
like,
any.
But seriously, like the ability of like getting excited and if you take 2 feet off the ground, because it's a fine line between like starting to run and walk, like they're on the brink of starting to run. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I feel like that's a lot of muscle control, a lot of body control and mental control.
It is.
That takes effort. I give speedwalkers so much credit. All these other sports, I don't care. But speedwalking, man, that's where it's at. Seriously.
That's, I mean, I don't know if the trials are as big as you think they are, though. I bet it really is. Any, like, civilian can be like, I can walk this. You know what I mean?
You should try out.
I should try that. See what happens.
I'd like to see you walk like a duck. Like
walk, 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 walk. Oh, he rose 2 feet. Get disqualified. You start hitting people.
We can have our own tryout of it.
You should start your own speed walking like
speed walking club
competition, like in the town.
And we can walk around in the mall in the morning.
The trial should happen at the mall, so people have to walk around like Tyson's Corner or something like that.
And then, like, there's obstacles in the way, like a stroller in the way. We can make a video game for it. It'll be like, stroller in the way.
This isn't mini golf.
But you know,
Out for the windmill.
Speaking of which, I just got that new GPS. And you know what's crazy about it? I haven't told you this.
What, the Garmin?
Yeah. You know what's crazy about it?
What's that?
It has a beep sound. And at first I didn't know what was going on. It was like, beep. And it kind of makes
anytime,
it sound.
Anytime something beeps, it's always something wrong.
Yeah, because I was like, oh my God, what the heck? I got scared for a second, and then I looked down, and then it was like, red light warning, video camera.
Zorak.
It told me that there's...
Vortex.
It told me that it was one of those areas, you know, those intersections that have a video camera?
Yeah.
And it's called red light safety camera. And it basically warns me that one's coming up ahead.
Nice.
And I'm like, sweet. That's pretty rad, but
that means all other times you can run that light.
Yeah, but I think it's nice of a courtesy that they tell us that.
It is.
But the other thing that was crazy is that beep sound kind of sounds really scary. So like at first I was like, like I thought something happened.
What type of sound is it?
It's like it's like the beep sound where like an something emergency like type happens.
Like. No,
it doesn't keep going. It's just like one beep. It's like beep, and then it says. Red light emergency or whatever. Not emergency, but it says something like red light safety ahead.
Red light safety ahead.
But I liked how it warns you. I was like, yeah, this is the bomb. I haven't heard people say that phrase in a long time, and I just used it.
So what type of people do you think are going to be at this Jane's Addiction concert that's approaching?
All different types of people. Everybody. I think, like, since they've been a band for almost 30 years, I guess, approaching 30 years, I feel like their music is going to span some generations. So basically, like, people that go to the Chili Peppers show.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be, like, those type of people. So, like, there are young people that go to that and, like, some older people. Like, older, cool people.
I hope it's quite a spectacle because we just saw
the theater's going to be gorgeous.
Because we saw the Motley Crue and Kiss one, and that had dancers on there, too. So I feel like Jane's Addiction has to top the Motley Crue.
So are they going to have a roller coaster with
drummer
Steve Perkins on the roller coaster?
I don't know. Or maybe it was just, I don't know. That's all I'm always wondering. The only time I've ever seen a Jane's Addiction concert is on that documentary. And that looked pretty wild as it is.
28 days. So I have also... Oh yeah, 3 days. I have a question that was sent in by Al, but not for the radio show.
Oh, really?
We were just chatting on Facebook, and he asked me, what I like about Twitter.
What do I like about Twitter?
Because I was like, man, Twitter's way better than Facebook. Screw this Facebook. And then like he was
book
like
face.
He was like, well, what do you like about Twitter? And then I was like, that's a good question. I'll actually just answer it during the radio show.
All right, so Carolyn, if you had to choose, which one do you like and why? Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter.
Why?
The reason, well, it's not really necessarily a competition between Twitter and Facebook, but in all honesty,
it is a competition. It's two different corporations, well, two different identities, Facebook, two different social media.
Facebook is
they're always jockeying for a position. It's Facebook either the bird or the F. The bird or the F.
What is the F?
Facebook. Remember the icons?
Yeah,
it's the bird or the F.
Well, F, Facebook, and
isn't
the
there a third one? A third one's usually YouTube.
Tumblr,
but yeah.
I'm getting kind of sick of Tumblr, actually. It doesn't do anything for me.
It's not supposed to do anything. It's just housing.
I don't like
for
it.
Me, it just houses, like, information.
Yeah, it's just like, eh.
But I do get better quality, like, images. art and images from Tumblr.
Well, because Facebook, when you upload an image, they distort it. They compress it.
But also, like, the type of images I see is better. It's more entertaining than more inspiring artwork that gets posted on Tumblr.
I don't know about you, but like recently on Facebook, I'd say like within the past year or 6 months, like the things that people post on Facebook is just like bullshit. It's like sayings or like quotes, inspirational quotes.
All it is,
or
is like
bullshit
this,
quotes
yeah.
or like whatever those like internet random things that people just send around. It's basically becoming like a big chain email of shit.
Or that people will just run down what they did today, then they feel fabulous.
Yeah, they're like, oh my god, awesome. I'm like I ate breakfast and then I went to the gym and like please praise me because I'm actually working out and I'm so awesome and screw you.
Or they make commentary like, about people that they like ran into, like to the guy that parked really close to my car. I hate you with all my life. Hope you die. Hope you read. You're my friend on my Facebook and you know stuff like that. It's just like
as if like that person's gonna read it.
Like they always try to do that. They always try to do that.
It's like basically passive aggressive people just like posting negative things too.
We're like day four. Here we go. It's like what day four? Here we go. What
you do that?
Huh?
You do that?
I do.
Day four on set.
Yeah, but I'm.
But at least
I'm
you
actually
post a picture with it.
No, but that's Instagramming. I'm Instagramming.
Well, you still say day four.
I basically just all I do is just Instagram. Because it's a countdown to the end of, that's the only countdown I was doing because I was excited to the end of that.
But I guess like back to the Twitter thing, Al, and everyone else that's listening, what I do like about Twitter is that you have to earn your followers because people aren't following you just because they necessarily know you.
Yeah.
They're following you for the content that you're writing. So I like it for that reason. And I feel like, because even with Facebook, it's easy to get friends, if you want to call them friends, on Facebook. Like,
people can just friend anybody, right?
Well, also, like, it's easy to find you, because if somebody's like, oh, I know this person, and then it, like, somehow, like, all the Facebook, like,
yeah,
like, technology knows to, like, basically integrate everybody, and it's so easy to find anybody.
It's already a search engine that's, like,
they already know, like, your whole network of people, like, and who you know, even from...
But you like ice cream? These people like ice cream, too?
Yeah. You said that in such an Aziz Ansari way.
Isn't that what it is? Isn't how they search for that?
Yeah. But, like, I think it's interesting that they can read people's minds in a way like that, but
they follow your statistics. Remember how, like, that you're... Before, they used to reinforce that you must... What books do you like? What music do you like? Remember?
Yeah.
All that, they had that huge listing. I just really erased all that now. Where they used to be able to post stuff on Facebook about what you like.
Yeah. I thought it was, like, pretty amazing, too, because, like, they would always... like, I said I like the movie Heavyweights about the Fat Kids Camp. It was, like, a Disney live-action movie back in the day. And, like, basically... for the longest time, under Facebook ads, they'd always be like, buy your Tony Perkins shirt, Perkasize. And I'm like, that's definitely from the movie Heavyweights. Like, no one, like, I guess they tracked it that much that I like the movie.
Yeah.
And their advertising is, like, pretty much on target, which is amazing. But, like, at the same time, Facebook is, like, all about making a buck now. Back in the day, before Facebook was
back
like
in its infant stages.
Yeah, before Facebook was like everybody's, like, I guess stock book. It used to like not be about making money, and it was just like really more useful. But now it's like all these companies targeting people, and I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it because it's like, okay, at least people are making money from this, but it's almost like because you like something, you're actually providing people... It's not like a genuine like anymore. You're just providing people with money or, like, information about you.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, it's a little invasive. And also, like, honestly, the content that, like I said, the content that people have been posting in the past year has disintegrated to, like, almost MySpace level.
And that's why...
Like, it's, like, trash.
But that's why I like Tumblr. When you find those right people to follow, mm-hmm. like, that are just posting, like, a certain type of art, like deco, or they're posting illustration, and all that's all they do, it's such a... Because usually... Like, say, like, I just want to look, you know, you just want to look up images of deco, or you just want to look up images by this artist. You can just go on Tumblr, and that's all off certain personal posts. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's...
I guess that's
I only good. Follow so many people, but it's also, like, it's quality a lot of times.
But also, you're basically, what's the word? You're basically curating what you want to see.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in Facebook, you can be friends with people, but, like, they could be posting, like, straight-up shit, and you're like, I don't want to see your shit in the toilet. Thanks for taking a picture of that.
What I like about Tumblr is that I don't have to go on their page. It just gets uploaded to my what's it called? It just gets shown on my wall.
Your dashboard.
Yeah. So I don't have to go to their page ever.
Yeah. That's true.
And it just goes in real time.
But that's kind of disconvenient to the people that are promoting, though. Because you don't get to see, like, their full news. You might just get a snippet.
What news? They just post images.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I guess, like, back to, like, the whole what I like about Twitter thing. Like, so, like, the first thing would be, like, basically earning your followers. Because, like I said, in Facebook, you're kind of friends with some of the people just because you do know them. But you haven't actually... been talking with them in person for a while, at least with me. Like, I know a lot of the people on my Facebook, but there's some of them that I haven't seen in like 8 or 10 years, so it's like, how close are we really, you know? And but at least with Twitter, like, most of the people that follow me on Twitter I don't know, and it's almost like interesting that they have value in what I have to say. So I think that it's and also it is a lot harder to earn your followers, because they can always tune out at any time. If they don't like your tweets or whatever, they can just unfollow you for a click of a button. So you basically have to really earn that content, and I like that challenge. And the other challenge that I really like in Twitter is that, how many characters is it?
120.
100 is it 100? I don't know. I don't know the exact. I don't know the exact
140
number of characters. Maybe it's 140. But basically, you have to pretty much get down what you want to say within a couple sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that, because it's almost like, it almost makes you a good writer, because it makes you edit what you want to say in the best possible, cleanest, quickest way.
People do put on huge rants on there, and it takes up like a whole page.
On Twitter?
Yeah, on Twitter.
But then they use that tweet longer thing.
Oh, do they?
That's, yeah. But you still have to click off of it. Or you mean, or they just write like 10 tweets in a row.
They just do 10 tweets in a row.
I mean, yeah, you occasionally can get that, because, like, I guess there are some things you want to talk about that you might need more than, like, whatever it is, 100 and whatever characters. But I do like that challenge of, like, weeding down what you have to say. So I think that's pretty interesting from a writing and content perspective. But yeah, I mean, I out of all the social medias, I do like Twitter. And they also have like TwitPic and other things that, if you did have something visual, I guess those are external sites that combine with Twitter.
Yeah.
But if you did have like a picture that you wanted to post, you can do that. But it's not as visual. It's more like, it's more content driven in that way. I mean, I don't know. I think Twitter can be a little bit more visual if it wanted to be. I don't know exactly how. I'd have to think about it.
One sad news that did come about the other day was that Joe Kubert died.
Yeah.
And, like, that's sort of sad, because, like, there was, like, a reunion. They had the Kubert, they had all three of them, like, at what, last year's either New York Comic Con, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even at the Baltimore Comic Con. And the one reason why I bring that up, then, why Joe Kubert is actually really important to me, is when I was growing up, you didn't really have any, and I didn't really go this path anyway, but you didn't really have anything. I wanted to be a comic book illustrator, and you didn't really have any school that focused on that except for the Joe Kubert school of, you know, graphic storytelling or comic book illustration, sequential art, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I felt like, wow, that's really important to have that, and that still is a huge... That's a big important deal, because even Amanda Connor went there. A lot of our inspirations went over there, and the fact that he passed away. I mean, I don't even know how he passed away, but he was.
I think he might have been old age because he was 85.
Yeah, he was pretty old, but he was still working.
He's still kicking.
Yeah, so
up until now,
you know, his artwork was really revolutionary and very very strong structured, and I think it was really. I really appreciated everything that he did. He actually, you know, for having that school for me was, you know, I may not have gone forth with doing that, but it sort of, in my head, it sort of led me in the right into a direction of like, wow, you can actually do this. Like, they would send out packets and they would send critiques. You know what I mean? It almost legitimized the art to me.
So basically, he was a friend of the artist. He didn't just like keep all of his secrets to himself. He wanted to help the industry more.
Yeah, and
he wanted to broaden it.
Yeah, and he had a list. You know, they would always have the Joe Kubert School, like always advertised in like the comic books and stuff like that, and who's gonna be teaching you and stories and you know like all of that. And I think I think he really served a great service, and you delivered great work. I mean, if he died because of old age, that's naturalness. But at the same time, he leaves something that was really important to the comic book industry, and I think what he did was awesome.
But that's like the cool thing of, I'm not saying it's cool that he died.
Like, he nurtured.
I'm trying
he
to figure
nurtured
out
the business.
A good way to say it.
He like nurtured the business.
But the thing is that yeah, he definitely nurtured.
Look, Stickman
everyone.
Is back.
He is back. He's dancing. He's on our screensaver. I think that with him, he leaves a lasting legacy. Like, he might be gone from this earth physically.
Yeah.
But what he created and the school, like, lives on also with his sons.
Yeah. And also everyone that's ever worked that went through that school, too.
Yeah, so he's basically impacted probably, like, hundreds of other people's lives, maybe even thousands.
Yeah, like the whole industry,
yeah.
Really.
But directly, I'm just saying, like, straight up directly impacted several hundred people's lives.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. Like, he leaves a lasting legacy, so that is a positive thing. See, like, I feel like when people die, there's so many people that die every day that you just don't never really hear about.
Because remember, before that, there was no... You couldn't go to college and go to a graphic storytelling school or class or something
yeah.
like that. This is like, that was like the only place that
like
you can try
to... He legitimized it.
Yeah.
To make it into a real school.
Or he saw something that needed to be taught. And he brought that back out, at least into that type of format. And I think that was really cool.
Yeah.
He will be missed. I never met him, but he will be missed.
But I bet, like, I heard his family is, like, going to continue it and stuff. So
oh, yeah.
it'll always be.
So I doubt I doubt he was there the whole time
yeah.
teaching that.
He established it.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's good that it can continue.
So Magic Bullet. I hope that continues too.
Magic Bullet number 5 just came out. It was in the theme. This is the first time. First of all, Magic Bullet is a comics newspaper in Washington, D.C. area. And all the local creators usually get like a page or a spread in the magazine. And I shouldn't call it a magazine. It's more like a newspaper. And because it is a literal
it's a
newspaper.
Chronicle.
It's printed on a literal newspaper, it's like this large format.
It's a comic book chronicle.
Yeah. And
isn't that what that is? Is that what a chronicle is? Like, you know, on the
like.
The
like
Daily
a,
Chronicle,
like a Virginia
like,
Herald,
like a yeah, isn't that what it
Chronicle.
Is?
Chronicle. That's just like a name of the name of the actual newspaper masthead. But you know, in general, it's a newspaper called Magic Bullet, and it usually comes out twice a year. And so this current issue that just came out, issue number 5, is called The End of the World. So it was, you know what, for me, like I honestly haven't read through the whole thing yet, but what I did see from flipping through it and by reading a few selected ones that when I was flipping through, I was like, oh, this one looks interesting. I'll read it.
Yeah.
It was so interesting to see everyone's concept of how they interpreted the end of the world. Like
yeah.
conceptually, like you have everything from like people not giving a shit to be like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and then to like people talking about like the Mayan calendar or people saying like the end is near and like holding cardboard boxes and just like, it was pretty amazing just to see like what everyone did with it, or like apocalypse scenarios
yeah.
you know, like, oh, it's gonna be crazy. And it's I really think that everything came together, and it's just really interesting conceptually to see what would happen, because like, how does everyone view how we're really gonna die or how everything's really gonna end?
Yeah.
And also, since 2012 is like that Mayan calendar thing, so I think putting that all together, it adds for a good theme.
I think so, and I think we'll be running that book or the Chronicle out across the whole entire DMV area as much as we can. And if you'd like us to get that into your hands, let us know. We'll find that way.
And we'll have it at New York Comic Con and Baltimore Comic Con and Small Press Expo if you'll be at any of those shows, and at Asbury Park Comic Con.
That's right.
We're gonna expand outside the DC area.
That's right.
New Jersey, New York, we're coming for you.
That's right.
And Maryland.
I hope you guys enjoyed the show this week. Sponsored by Curls, curls-studio.com, produced by Straight Productions, straightproductions.com. And that's what we do. That's what we do. That is what we do. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Hope you guys had a good time. Go out there, be positive to each other, and just don't be assholes to each other either. Go out there and live your life. It's the end of the world, man. It's the end of the world. Have a good night. See you later, Carolyn.
Pinkberry and Pussy.